This is 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. We have to get you in the Christmas mood. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Good. Sit down, please. I have been preaching. Thousands are leaving. I have been preaching for a long, long time. I have taught for 24 years at the Philadelphia College of Bible. I taught for 4 years before that. And in the process, I have taught preaching in many of those years, as well as preaching for all of those years. So I am basically in a rut. So that whatever I do, I have to do in the same style. I have to do the same way. So this is how a person in a rut, as I am, would have to do what I am now going to do. I would like to share with you, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Now this text gives to us a very interesting revelation of Santa Claus. This revelation of Santa Claus is presented to us in three parts. There is first of all the preparation for the coming of Santa Claus. There is then the actual coming of Santa Claus. And then the most important part, I imagine, of the text is a description of Santa Claus. Will you listen to the writer as he shares with us this important information? He begins, "'Twas the night before Christmas." Now notice the words in the text at this particular point. "'Twas the night." Very important to notice the article. Not a night before Christmas. He locates this definitely in time. "'Twas the night." Not one of the 12 days of Christmas. The night. Very important to get a perspective. But then notice, pay attention, "'Twas the night before Christmas." Tells you the time, tells you the holiday. This is not New Year's. This is not the 4th of July. This is not even Mother's Day. This is 'Twas the night before Christmas. Very important to get a perspective. The writer goes on to say, "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." Well, that's a very important reference that the writer has given us. Gives us more information. Gives us an information, a little bit of an idea of where we are. "When all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even the mouse." This cannot be Don Locke's house. The mice run all over that house all the time. The writer goes on to say, "The stockings were hung by the chimney with care. They'd been worn for 2 weeks and they needed the air." No, I'm sorry. That does not have good manuscript evidence. Really, what the text says is, "The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds." Now, we've got to pause right there because that just doesn't make much sense to most of us. We don't run around using the word nestled. It's an old German word. Usually used in association with chocolate. And so you've got to understand what the writer is doing. You know that chocolate connotes a warmth. If you want to talk about a certain, you talk about a chocolate brown, it's a warm brown, or we have hot chocolate. And so the writer is communicating that concept to you, that chocolate warm concept. with this word nestled. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand what's going on at all when you see the children were all chocolatey warm. You see. All snug in their bed while visions of sugar plums danced in their head. The writer goes on to say, Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap. Now there must be more than that, but that's all it says. We'll go on, all right? Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap when out of the lawn there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. Now, we do have to go. We do have to go to the marginal reading here. Because this just doesn't make sense. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. That just doesn't make sense. But we are helped in the marginal reading because really what it says, away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the hash. Now that makes far more sense. This may be the Don Locke home after all. The writer goes on to say, the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eye should appear. Now, we've gotten the material on the preparation for the coming of Santa Claus. Now the writer takes us into the actual coming of Santa Claus. Listen to what he has to say. When what to my wondering eyes did appear, now listen, but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer with a little old driver so lively and quick, did you hear it? Did you hear it? How wonderfully the writer has put all of this together in that neat package. Did you hear it? Most of you missed it. I'll read it again. With a miniature sleigh, eight tiny reindeer with a little old driver. You see it? You still don't see it? How utterly ridiculous it would be if the writer didn't keep this in harmony. With a miniature sleigh, eight tiny reindeer, and this great big old fat slob to know that. No, it's a miniature sleigh, it's a tiny reindeer, and it's a little old driver, so lively and quick that I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. He knows each reindeer by name. None of this get up herd business. Not even one, two, three. He whistles and shouts and calls them by name. Now listen, listen. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder, on Blitzen. Let's settle it right here tonight, right here. Did you hear that? There is no Rudolph. That is a modernist lie. That's been put in there to confuse us. Probably put in there by the communist red nose. No, there is no Rudolph. There is no text that says that. You heard the names, keep it clear, keep your doctrine straight. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. Little soap commercial thrown in there. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount up to the sky. Now listen. So up to the housetop, the coursers, they flew with the sleigh full of toys. And St. Nicholas, too. See how the writer keeps them all together? We don't end up with a reindeer on the roof and Santa still down here. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. That's when you're glad they're small reindeer. As I drew in my head and was turning around down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. All right, we have heard the writer tell us about the preparation for the coming of Santa Claus. And then we've now seen the actual coming of Santa Claus. And now the writer takes us to that very, very important part of this poem. And that is a description of this individual. This is important. Listen carefully to the text. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot. Do you hear it? Do you see it? He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot. Foot, singular. Why doesn't it say feet? Well, why do you dress in fur? You know that, to keep warm. This man only has fur down one side. Why? Because he doesn't need it down the other side. Why? Because that's not a real leg. That is an artificial leg, and he does not need the fur down there. Would you please notice the first thing about this man is that he's a one-legged man. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot. The writer goes on to say, his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. He's dirty. He's a dirty old man. In fact, he's a one-legged dirty old man. And they are the worst kind. The writer goes on to say, a bundle of toys he had flung on his back. A grown man running around with toys. He's senile. We've got a senile, one-legged, dirty old man. Looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. Why does a man have a red nose? He's been hitting the Christmas spirits. Obviously, he's an alcoholic. In fact, the writer gave us a clue what he's been drinking. His nose or his cheeks were like roses. Four roses, most likely. Again, how do you know what I'm saying? We've got a senile, dirty, one-legged old man who's an alcoholic. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth. Now, that can communicate a confusing picture. The stump of a pipe. What kind of a pipe? Is this a lead pipe that he's got? Oh. You know, we've got to keep reading to finish understanding what's going on. And what kind of pipe? Well, then the writer tells us, because it says, and the smoke, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to get a whiff of what he's smoking. I can well imagine that is not Prince Albert in the can. In fact, the writer probably gave us a clue earlier on when he said, as dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly. How do you think he gets so high on Christmas? He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. That's just a polite way of saying he's sloppy fat. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. Well, who wouldn't? This guy showed up in your living room? A wink of his eye, which is not very nice, a twist of his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word. Antisocial. Won't even converse with those around him. Went straight to his work, filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. Now, it's very important that we pay attention to the prepositions here. Notice it says he turned with a jerk. It does not say he turned to a jerk. That would cast some dispersion upon the writer of the story. It says he turned with a jerk. Evidently, he's got a helper. And this lets you know the kind of people he hangs around with. I wish the poem didn't go on like it does, but you have to read it. Even in mixed company. And laying his finger aside of his nose. Now that's just not nice at all. And giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle. Now listen. And away they all flew. See how they keep them all together? Beautiful how the writer does that in his harmony. Sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Now there is in that last statement an ellipsis. Isn't there? An ellipsis is when the writer or speaker leaves out words that he expects his audience or readers to insert. If I say, go to the store, I've left out something. I've left out the subject. Well, see, in this statement it says, "Happy Christmas to all and to all a good night." To all what? Obviously the object has been left out. Now, you know what goes in there, so every one of you would supply the right word. It's a pronoun, right? What it should read is, "Happy Christmas to you all and to you all a good night," which lets you know that this man doesn't even come from the North Pole.